Well, with 1 year before the next presidential election, it's a safe bet the next administration will face challenges dealing with military veterans and with the still troubled Veterans Affairs Department. Now, the Center for a New American Security has come up with a comprehensive blueprint for the military and veteran community. Joining me with highlights, report co-author Kate Kidder. Kate, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's start at the very top. What are the main recommendations that you have for the next administration with respect to VA? It looks like you feel that they're going to inherit a lot of ongoing issues.
That's correct. So one of the things that we tried to tease out, we're a bipartisan think tank, so trying to think through where are some of the areas where the different campaigns might differ on their approaches to meeting the needs of veterans, specifically through the VA. And there's a lot of overlap, so a lot of them will focus on continued success in the battle against veteran homelessness. But one of the areas where we have a lot of contention is when we think of how we go about restructuring. So on the one hand, the Democratic plan is much more, how do we truly beef up the VA to be able to meet the needs of our veterans in a way that is quick and effective and worthy of the service that they've had. And then when you look at the Republican side, there's the option of how do we perhaps use the private sector to augment the current structure of the VA. And there's a kind of a range there. Some want to kind of abolish the VA altogether, while others are looking at how they can really bolster the VA. So what we did was kind of lay out a roadmap that for both visions of how we treat veterans in the future.
Because veterans have really two healthcare needs. I guess the healthcare needs they have can fall into one of two buckets. They have the acute
Correct.
Problems, say you lost a limb or you have post-traumatic stress disorder or brain injury. On the other hand, you might just have the flu sometime in your 50s. And so
Correct.
maybe the balance is letting VA do what it's great at, which is PTSD, acute care, prosthetics, those kinds of things, real war injuries. And if you have the flu, just go to a doctor.
Correct. And you know, there's been real innovation that's come out of the VA over the last 50, 60 years, and in a number of different ways. So, you know, you look at some advances in cardiac health, or you look at advances with prosthetics, certainly. And so that there may be a way that, you know, we can double down on those things, those research things that the VA is really good at, and where they have the comparative advantage in the rest of the market. Another thing to think about, too, is that now we have an entire generation of young veterans. And so you see, you know, we have the Vietnam cohort is approaching retirement age. And so where the VA is providing geriatric health care on one hand, and then they're also providing sports medicine on the other, when we think of the musculoskeletal issues that veterans of the post 9/11 wars are coming back with. So the VA is really fighting on all fronts right now.
And of course, not only will the administration have to deal with VA, but so will Congress.
Absolutely.
And so do you sift out those things that the VA can do in consultation with whoever is president versus those things that they would need Congress to do?
Yeah, so one of the things that we've heard over and over again is that we need to think about what is the scope of the VA, and once we outline what the scope of what we want the VA to do, we also have to resource it appropriately. And certainly the vision will be led by whichever administration comes into power, but on the flip side, Congress will be the one who decides the level of resourcing that goes along with that. So if we want the VA to, you know, provide more comprehensive health care and to be treating the flu and also prosthetics, then we need to fund it as such. And if we decide that the scope is more limited, then it can be resourced at a lower level, but they're still going to require quite a bit of congressional oversight.
We're speaking with Kate Kidder of the Center for a New American Security on their latest report about VA and military affairs for the next president. And one of the things that you are recommending is expanded data sharing between government, private, and nonprofit sectors that enables needs assessment, resource allocation, and future planning. Explain that.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things is that all of us are very passionate about veterans issues, and you see that across the spectrum of Congress. You see that across all of the presidential candidates, and passion gets the issue to the forefront, but data is going to be what actually determines whether or not we're going to be successful. So we can't track metrics unless we actually have the data to track against those metrics. Are we improving both the health and the wealth of our veterans? And one of the fascinating things that we've seen is that not only is it very difficult for university researchers to get access to data on the military community and the veterans community, but it's really difficult for the VA to get information coming out of DOD and vice versa. And if there were more data sharing, if there was more if the VA could see exactly what was coming their way, and if there was a more seamless transition both of individuals and the data that comes along with them, the VA could do a better job of forecasting what the future needs will be and then resourcing to that.
You know, when you go to the middle of a big, long bridge and there are two pieces of road that have to mesh, they have this expansion joint where you're right on both roads at once. It seems like that's what has to happen between DOD and VA to a greater extent than the gap they now have.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of it comes down to culture, which is actually fascinating given that, you know, in our view, you know, this is the same population. It's not you were a military service member and now you're a veteran. It's more, this is the spectrum of the lifespan of a service member. And so there should be a way to either have that expansion gap filled or to just, you know, seamlessly make it one road.
Because the Defense Department has been beefing up its programs for warrior transition, starting when people are still in active duty, you know, back maybe a year ahead of their ability to discharge. And so can that somehow be linked up with VA in advance of someone leaving the service?
That's certainly the argument that we make. And thinking through, too, you know, one of the things that maybe we're not asking or maybe we're not communicating is, you know, our veterans, where are they going back to once they leave service? We know the post that they're at or the base that they're at where they're going to depart service from, but many of them go back to their hometowns or they move to a new city for a job. And so being able to kind of forecast where we would see a large number of veterans or where we would expect them to be moving could help the VA better plan where they allocate, whether it be clinics or hospitals or outreach.
Because I noticed the title of the report mentions the veteran and military community as one. You don't make it communities. So I guess that's pretty much the orientation you're coming from.
Absolutely. Yeah, so and thinking through, too, part of the thing that this is trying to tackle is the civ-mil divide, right? And so thinking of how do we think of our military service members, our future veterans, and our current veterans as part of the larger community that bridges the gap between civilian life and military life.
And looking into the VA itself, it has had some tremendous problems over the past year, well documented. The construction of that hospital was a horrible waste. And, of course, all of the scandals surrounding the scheduling and so forth. What do you think that the next administration should do just operationally for the VA as a federal agency, regardless of the mission?
I think that, you know, appointing tremendous leadership at the top and then also perhaps figuring out new authorities, and that's more of a congressional issue, but figuring out new authorities within the VA to make sure that that performance and metrics are tracked and not in a way that induces perverse incentives, which is kind of what we saw with the scheduling disaster in the summer of 2014, and actually looking at as Secretary McDonald says now, looking at what are the outcomes for veterans, for the individual veteran, as opposed to what are necessarily the outcomes that are good for the VA.
Because the Inspector General has had a series of reports on managerial issues. Do you think that Bob McDonald, when he leaves, he'll have been VA Secretary for roughly 2.5 years. Is it a better, more efficient agency upon his leaving than it was when he came in?
I do think so. And I think, you know, you can look at a number of different buckets where he's made a real push. So for one, and carrying on some of the work of General Shinseki, this push towards the functional zero for veteran homelessness. I think you've seen a huge impact that the VA has made in different communities. So, for example, I know that down in New Orleans, you know, we have zero homeless veterans, and part of that has been it's a great example of where linking resources and attention has actually made a marked difference in the lives of veterans.
Kate Kidder is co-author of the report, Passing the Baton, a Bipartisan 2016 Agenda for the Veteran and Military Community, from the Center for a New American Security. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.